Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host,
Mary.
And today we're talking about Survivor 43, Episode 3. And with that, we have to ask ourselves, do we miss the longer episodes? Because I do.
Yeah, I definitely did. It felt much shorter. Although this episode wasn't that great of an episode anyway, so that, I guess it was okay. But maybe it wasn't as great because it wasn't as long.
No, yeah, exactly. There's no major events, but that makes me wonder if last week's episode was shorter, would it have been... Would they have cut a bunch of the... There's so many interesting things that happened last week.
Yeah.
I feel like this week there could have been more interesting things and we just didn't have time for it. So they just cut it out and made it...
Probably. Because we could have just got more camp life. Like, we rarely ever see Blue. I know we got more Blue tonight, but it was mainly all from Carla's perspective. We don't know much about their camp life in general. So, sorry to interrupt. But yeah, I agree. I think if we'd had a longer episode, we could have had more camp life. And it would have been more interesting, maybe. Hopefully.
I agree. We got almost nothing from Blue again, which just because they keep winning. And so they haven't had any drama yet because no one's had to vote each other out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we got like leftover drama from the Yellow Tribe. And the Yellow Tribe hasn't been... Or did they go tribal last week? No.
No.
They went tribal the first week because Mariah got voted out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Yellow's got just drama going on because they're all trying to backstab each other. Red, for obvious reasons, had to fill up screen time today.
Right.
And Blue's just living their best birthday life now. So... I got to ask the right away, was Necco the right choice over Noelle? Thinking purely from an eagle eyes point of view for this tribe, was that the right choice?
From an eagle eye?
Yeah, like we're not thinking from Jesse's perspective or from Cody's perspective.
You have to think from Jesse's perspective.
Okay, you can think from Jesse's perspective.
From eagle eye, no. From Jesse's perspective, yes. That's my short answer.
Why is it right from Jesse's perspective?
Because you have to stop losing. And to be honest, I really think she was... part of a big reason why they lost the last two challenges, and you can't go back to tribal again. They have to stop losing. So I think it was the right decision.
And then from Eagle Eye's point of view, you said no.
Well, from Eagle Eye, just because she was extremely loyal, and in the long run, loyalty is going to take you so much farther. And I say Eagle Eye knowing what Noelle did on Summit mm-hmm. Island. So Noelle is completely ready to jump over to flip, you know, basically she's not a vote in your alliance anyways, so you might as well cut her off now. But Jesse doesn't know that, and again, they have to get to the merge. So
overall, of course, you know, they made the decision based on factors we probably didn't even see and factors that obviously we didn't hear discussed, because to me it seemed like if Noelle goes, it's the right decision just across the board. Like, I understand the perspective of we don't need to be losing more challenges, but I see it as if we lose another one, you vote out NECA. I mean, what has Noelle done to save them? She clearly has not volunteered to do the puzzles. So is Noelle going to save them on the puzzles? I think you vote out Noelle, who was part of the, she was with Justine, get rid of her, knock her out. And we already know she's conspiring against them. And they were literally talking about how NECA's loyal. She's just bad challenges, which is my personal opinion, a great thing to have at the merge. I want some of these terrible challenges so they don't win immunities and to be loyal to me.
Yeah.
Personally.
I understand that. I'm just saying I don't think the merge is anytime soon, right? Am I wrong in that?
No. We're in episode 3 here. The merge past couple seasons, I believe, has been it's been split between like episode 6 and 7 or however it's worked, because they do the earn the merge thing. But
right.
Yeah.
So they still have a few more immunities to go through, to get through. And they've got, unless you want to get down to 2 tribe members, which nobody wants to do.
I mean, Shannon Ricard did it in 41. Not that it panned out really well.
Right.
But,
I understand it happens, but you just don't want that to happen. So
no, I understand. It's a much harder game. At the same time, you know, it just depends on how the merge plays out, which you cannot predict at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go in with only 2 people, people will be like, oh, not a threat. Right. We need to knock out the second largest tribe. That's what the largest tribe says. Whereas mm-hmm. the second largest tribe is like, we need to knock out the largest tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got a war between the 2 bigger tribes and you're just free agents. But on the other hand, people could see you as easy targets at the same time. So
right.
Here we are, episode 3. On Patreon, I just posted the top 10 most hated villains, Borneo secrets, Island of the Island secrets, the messy Gabon season video. There's a lot on Patreon. We have a lot of voting incoming. I think right now we're voting which secrets videos to do next. We're also going to be voting on Micronesia story videos here in about, I want to say in the next month, But just some big stuff coming from Patreon. If you want to financially support the channel, we greatly appreciate it. It helps me pay the bills around here because my cat sure isn't. He just sits in the window all day and meows at me. He ain't paying no bills, but he's super cute. But yeah, we want to thank you for that. And I got chapter markers, of course, for the whole video. So if you want to listen to a certain section of the podcast, feel free. But otherwise, we enjoy having you along for the whole ride. I did want to point out, I just thought about this today. I miss Game Within the Game.
I know, I did too. I was thinking about that earlier because our nephew that we talk about sometimes has just gotten addicted to Survivor. And I was like, man, I wish that Game Within the Game was still a thing because that would have been a fun thing he would have enjoyed, yeah. I think. But
yeah, our 7-year-old nephew just got in Survivor. And I'm like, I told his mom, like, don't show him Thailand or Island of the Idols, please. It's so hard to explain to a child with the events on those seasons. But yeah, no, Game Within the Game is a fun thing. I feel like out of all the things to take out of the game that you added, that was that a hard one to add? They did have to maintain a website, I guess.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a lot, but whatever.
It was maybe a cool addition. I was hoping they would bring back this season.
I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it every time, but I am kind of a kid at heart, so maybe people complained about it. I don't know.
I didn't see anybody complaining. It was either people didn't care or people enjoyed it, but I didn't see anybody going, I can't believe they spend 4 seconds of every episode on this. Those jerks. So, all right. So right away, we learned that Cody has an idol. Unfortunately, it is not the hat.
Right. He holds up like a bracelet. So I was wondering, did he make this bracelet out of the beads?
I assume.
Or did they give him one? But they couldn't have given him one. So this has to have been a bracelet that he made from the beads.
Yeah, I don't think the production was like, all right, Cody, give us the beads so we can make you a bracelet. I believe they informed him, hey, you went to tribal with all the beads, so now you have an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I am assuming, I will find out, I guess, at some point in an interview with somebody, I'm sure, probably with Cody, whenever he gets voted out, unless he makes it to the end, if anybody even cares by that point.
Right.
But I was kind of hoping he was going to play the hat.
Yeah, well, I was just hoping at least to see how it goes from beads in a hat to a bracelet. Like, he has to at least ask the other tribe to be, hey, thanks for your beads. You know, I'll give them back, but do you mind if I keep one bead?
To be fair, I don't think he ever asked to borrow them. I think he just asked to have them.
I know.
So, good on Cody.
That's true.
Good on Cody, because I don't remember him ever promising any of them back, which was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I now realize in retrospect that I didn't realize the beads were going to be the idol. Therefore, promising them back would be a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering when you said that.
Well, when I thought you just had to bring them to tribal and you got an idol. Mm-hmm. I was not fully aware that the beads were the idol.
Right.
So now I've learned my lesson.
It probably would have been really easy for him, though, to take off the beads he needed, make the bracelet, and put all the beads back, and nobody would have even really noticed.
Yeah. Well, I feel like everyone's so bored on the island with all the downtime, even though they have less downtime now, as we've said. But I feel like people would notice something was missing like that.
Maybe.
I mean, I feel like you would notice, like, little details. So, yeah. With that, we get what is, I think the name of the episode was Sign the Divorce Papers. We get talks between Jesse and Dwight about this, but we don't ever see Jesse and Dwight talking this whole episode,
mm-hmm.
which is either a terrible sign or the conversation. This is why I missed the longer episode, because I feel like we would have saw the conversation between the two of them. Because we hear Dwight going, he didn't do what I want him to. And Jesse going, hey, I'll sign the divorce papers. But like, why don't we see them talking about this?
Yeah, we would have seen them talking about this.
I'm sure they did.
In a longer episode.
I'm sure they actually did. I'm sure they didn't just avoid each other for 2 days.
Sorry, that was a subtle correction of your grammar, but
how dare you, you teacher.
But no, yeah, you're right. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for the intense, man, what did you do last night? Why did you do that? But we never got it. There was no, just besides the brief in the confessional moment, there wasn't any follow-up from that. And they voted together, so they had to discuss the vote. But yeah, I was like, man, what's happening with the island marriage? What's going on? But no, I guess they're fine because they voted together. So we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, that was a little frustrating. Not to get a follow-up.
No, I just like, I'm just dumbfounded trying to think, like, why they didn't show it to us. It seems like it would have been an important conversation to show.
Yeah.
So I think maybe what the storyteller is trying to tell us is that they are split up. That's my only assumption to take away from that, from them not showing it. Because usually if they don't show something, it means it wasn't important. what we heard from both of them about how things are strained at the moment. So I'm going to assume that right now things are strained. We'll see. Because everyone voted together on this vote.
Right.
You know, so was it a marriage of convenience in this case?
Oh, man. How many more puns?
Was it a green card marriage? I don't know. Who knows? We then go over to the Yellow Tribe. And Ellie says, Gabler's, I think I learned his name this week. Gabler's unhinged and she wants him gone. Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting take. We just see him laying on the beach. We don't see him doing anything that I would consider unhinged. But I'm also not there to witness.
Right. I think maybe more he's getting on people's nerves. But he also is just, it sounds like, again, this is inferring from the 3 seconds of things we get.
Yeah.
That, he, you know, he's uncomfortable. He doesn't want to be there. He's tired. He's thirsty. Whatever. You know, he's kind
he's
of
struggling
just,
physically.
He's struggling.
We saw that last episode, too.
And I could see how he might also just be like maybe short tempered or something because he is tired and not sleeping and not eating or and
he's
not,
a grumpy old man.
I'm not saying he has a temper. I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying that maybe he isn't as adjusting as well as the younger people. And that leaves him on the outs.
I mean, is he on the outs, though? He's with Sammy.
Well, on the outs with Ellie.
Sure, sure. Oh, yeah, with Ellie. Sure. Ellie is getting the definitely is getting the edit of thinking she's smarter than she really is. Yeah. That's the story they're giving her, which means she's going to at some point, if not sooner than later, be shown that she is not as smart as she thinks she is. Because she's 100% getting that storyline. So that's being set up. And they're showing that Sammy's actually the smarter one. Sammy will get the upper hand unless Owen snitches. That's like what it feels like right now. The story setting's up. And I was kind of hoping that he went to tribal this episode because I was ready for that to explode.
That would have been more interesting.
Oh, then the tribal happened, sure. But it's not scripted. Therefore, they can't.
Right.
But at the same time, I almost like wonder if they could have held off on showing this conversation until next episode.
But then what would they have shown?
Well, from the Yellow Tribe, I'm sure something else happened at the tribe.
I mean, this conversation is fine because if it does come up again, you know it's going to be rehashed or re-talked about.
Oh, I know. So that's the question, though. So Sammy is right upset at Ellie's game. He tells Gabler what she told him, what she told him and Janine, because Ellie assumes that pretty much everyone's on her side except for Gabler, is how it comes across. And Ellie then... She's like, let's make a fake idol making day because she assumes that Gabler does not know his idols get the next tribal. Gabler knows his idols get the next tribal, which I believe was a question that came up in the last episode because that's why they went through looking through the bag. But also, does Gabler know this? Like, I assume he does. Like, he isn't an idiot. He is a doctor. Believe it or not, from the way he looks on the island, he does have a high pedigree or a high degree. Pedigree, is that like an animal thing? Yeah, I think Gabler's a purebred. That's what I'm trying to say. He has a high he has a high degree, you know. Anyways, Mary is laughing at my stupidity. Thank you. Ellie proposes a fake idol making day, and the moment she said it, my eyes almost rolled into the back of my head if I had the capability of doing that.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. It was pretty obvious. I mean, it could have. Sure, that does actually kind of sound like fun. And if they are that bored, why not? But yeah, this is Survivor. Like almost everything, there's another motive. So it just seemed really obvious. And again, this is one of the problems I have with Ellie is I do appreciate how smart she is, but she is getting cocky and playing way too hard. She needs to pull it back a little bit. I mean, I was kind of impressed with Owen this episode, and I feel like he's pulled it back. Some
thankfully,
yeah,
he was getting the dodo out of the last two episodes,
yeah. And while he's still, I mean, Sammy asked him if he knew the girls had been searching through the bag, and he raised the eyebrows, oh, really? You know, but
really acting it up,
right? Yeah, he was a little bit of a ham there, but I mean, I feel like he's doing much better job of reading his tribe, or he's getting a better edit. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like we got so much revealed to us the first two episodes. I don't know if now things are just being hidden. You know, like, are the things still happening that we saw in the first two episodes? And it's like, with so little time, I feel almost like bamboozled. It's better, I think, to go from a shorter episode to a longer episode.
Yeah.
Going this way, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm not being told everything now.
Right.
You know?
But yeah, Ellie's playing too hard.
Yeah.
And that was a bit too much. In my opinion.
Basically, Janine's not the one shown to be the idiot.
Mm-hmm.
It's, in this case, Deli.
Well, and Sammy asked, he was like, hey, do you want me to talk to Gabler about it? And I honestly think if Ellie at that point had said, yeah, that's a good idea, or something along those lines, he might have stuck with them a little bit. Like, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying that three of them were talking on the beach, but her little arrogance of, oh, no, I'm much closer to Gabler. I know Gabler so much better. Kind of, it seemed, ticked him off and maybe solidified him with the guys, or maybe he wasn't sure before. I don't know. That's just my guess. But it seemed to annoy him a little bit, which... He's still a little young. He's going to have to rein that in.
But the real question is, will Owen snitch? Will Owen go with the girls or will he go with the guys? That's the question that's being presented.
I think he's probably going to snitch just because he's probably going to think that in the merch he can't beat Sammy in physical challenges. But I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could see that. Because you're not worried about Gabler.
No.
If anything, you're worried about Sammy. But at the same time, I mean... You want to have, I mean, if Owen's truly a super fan who's super connected, you know, a super fan is super connected to all these survivors, they would tell you, get a meat shield, have somebody in front of you who can take the hits, because him being aligned with Ellie and Janine's going to put him as the meat shield.
That's true.
He would be the target out of the three. Let's just say three of them make it out of this tribe and go to the merge. He's number one to go in my personal, him or Ellie. Nothing presents us as Janine being somebody who would be going. It would be him or Ellie. And I think he would go first, personally.
You're right.
But...
good point.
You know, Owen's also got the dodo edit for two episodes. So who knows if... Who knows if he knows that, you know?
Right.
If you hear a cat in the background, that's my cat deciding, oh, you're podcasting, time for me to make noises and play. They always do this. I love them.
They just want to be a part of the team.
They try to reenact, Fast and the Furious only when we podcast... So, anyways, fake idol making day. I'm just still in awe of how dumb it is. Anyways, all right. So we go over to the blue tribe, and everything's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't for Carla finding the beware advantage, I don't think we would have had any time with the tribe. I think we'd have gone over. Oh, it's my birthday. Okay, happy birthday. We would have left. Like, that's how nothing is happening over there now.
It's possible.
Lindsay got a confessional. I was appreciative of this. Mm-hmm. But really, it came down to, has no one found anything yet? And then, of course, Carla finds the beware advantage and then says, I'm not going to get it. And then basically 10 seconds later, you know, it's like having money burning a hole in your pocket. You just got to spend it. In this case, you just got to get that beware advantage. You can't just not have the beware advantage,
mm-hmm.
which is, I will give her credit. It's smarter than Cody. It's at least not the day of tribal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this, too. It's like... I'm not sure why she put it back at the first time, because I guess she just really is not a risk taker, because why wouldn't you? It's not even, you haven't gone to tribal yet. You haven't, like, this is obviously early on in the day. I don't know if it's obviously early, but you know what I mean? It's just like, what was your reasoning here? And it was just basically, she didn't want to lose her vote.
Yeah.
But she had so much.
And then she tried getting James to do it, but James is like,
yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He's taking a birthday nap.
Was she trying to get him to go out looking for it too, or was she just trying to understand what a smart move would be?
That's a good question. I think what she was trying to do was, I think she was like too scared to grab it. So she's like, okay, I'm going to go get James to go get it and let him take the hit on whatever the negative is. But she knows who has it and what they have, kind of thing, which isn't a bad move to have if they're on your side. Which I believe in this case, James is on her side, because as we've established, all the women plus James are in alliance, and Gio and Ryan are on the outs. Mm-hmm. That's the blue setup for whenever they go to tribal. Who knows when that's going to be? At this point, I feel like they need to throw a challenge to go. I guess they could have lost today, but it was not close between red and blue at the end.
Right.
Vessi blew it so hard. So, I think that's what she was trying to do, but you make a good point. It could have been like... But James is not in a strategic mood. He is in a napping mood. It is his birthday. He is taking a nap. Give the man a nap.
I just think that she's overthinking things.
Oh, yeah.
And also doesn't want to take risks. So not a great setup for a winner, obviously. I don't think she's gotten any sort of winner
hits. I think Carla's gotten a lot of content. I don't know if it's winner content.
She's gotten a lot of content.
But she's got a lot of content.
Yeah, she's got a lot of content. But I was considering her in my winner list, but I'm like, she's so timid.
I would put her in your list over one person's going to be in your list when we talk about it. We'll talk about when we get there, but I think she has more value than the other person. We'll get there.
Well, and she might be. I'm not saying she isn't. That's the first time, I think, in Survivor history that I've seen someone find a Beware Advantage or an idol and then put it back. And then say, oh, wait, no, I probably should get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems a little timid to me.
But the question is, did she learn her lesson by getting it? Because we then see her go on a social brigade.
She did a great job getting all the beads.
Yeah.
And using her social leverage.
And unlike Cody, she didn't need help from anybody to get it.
That's true.
She got it. She kept it to herself. As far as I'm aware, mm-hmm. she's the only person who knows that she has that idol now.
Right. Because I was really expecting her to tell James. But I don't know how tight her alliances are. And I don't think she knows how tight her alliances are because they haven't been tested yet.
Mm-hmm. So, everyone in this season so far who's gotten advantage has told everybody or has told other people. Even Noelle this episode, who's like, I know he's a good player, I shouldn't tell anybody. Cut to her going, I have something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right.
I was impressed with Carla. Yeah. Yeah. I just was confused by the finding it and then putting it back.
Yeah, I, and who knows how much time took place between those two events. From what we saw on the show, is basically she saw it, found it, decided, maybe this isn't the best idea. Let me go see if James will come out here and grab it. Then I think as she's talking to James, she's like, no, I should just do it. Mm-hmm. Because she says how she mentions her spouse. But reality is, it probably was like 5 to 10 minutes in between those two things.
Could have been.
Yeah. She jogs back there, though. She's like, oh, no.
Well, yeah. Can you imagine how dumb she'd feel if she got back and it was gone?
I mean, I would find that hilarious. That would have
been funny, yeah.
If anyone else had found, like Gio, Ryan, Lindsay had found that after, yeah, that would have been funny. I would have laughed.
Then she would have been so suspicious, though, if one mm-hmm. of them had tried to take one of her beads. I would imagine. I mean, she didn't read it, but...
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's good to know, though, if somebody else... Sorry for yawning there. It's kind of late. Anyways, we always record these after the episode at night. But yeah, I mean, the most important thing is knowing what it is and who has it almost holds the same amount of value as just having it. Though I think having it and not telling anybody is obviously more valuable.
Yeah.
If she can keep this to herself, she is the smartest player out of everyone who's gotten an advantage so far. It's a little rough, though, I think, doing the pull from a bat or doing the risk, no risk thing
mm-hmm.
that happens because two other people, of course, know.
Right.
It's impossible for them not to. But your own tribe, then if you keep a secret from your tribe, you get to the merge. She didn't tell you. She got the, you know. So I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that Cody told, and NECA's out of the game now. So really, it's just Cody and Jesse's only people who are aware of his idol
mm-hmm.
on the Vessi tribe. But Carla's the one who knows about her. So we then cut over to the Red tribe, and this is where we start getting set up for. First off, we should have known who's going to lose immunity at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
NECA gets a backstory. Somebody last week, I believe, commented. With who's gotten a backstory so far. So to clarify, what I consider backstory is if they show any photos of the person or I don't care, any photos at all in that flashbacky like scenario, the way they do it in the episode. I'm terrible at describing this, but you know what I'm talking about. If they do that, that counts as a backstory. So last week they were a little bit confused on what counts as a backstory. That's what I count. So if somebody wants to go through and count up who's had how many flashbacks backstories. I would love to know with the photos because I think this is the second one for NECA. And probably. I think Noelle's gotten two as well.
It's less of a backstory, more of a mini documentary mm-hmm. of their life. That's not even good. But
I know what you mean.
Because it wasn't even about her. It was about a mission she supports.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I loved the story.
A mission she supports. There yes. we go. Yeah, it was a great story. But as soon as it came on, I was like... Are you serious?
Yeah.
NECA's going home then, right? But then we did get one.
I just don't want to see him anymore. I'm done with the stories. Stop it.
I don't care. I like the stories. It helps you get to know the person better. As long as not...
If they listen to you, we're going to have words.
As long as not every single one of these quote-unquote backstories are, I had a terrible childhood growing up and winning Survivor would mean so much to me. Like,
you're correct.
Not everyone has had a rough backstory. I'm not trying to minimize that, but they try to make everyone have a really terrible, horrible childhood mm-hmm. and winning Survivor would just save their life. Playing Survivor has just saved their life. That's what I think we can agree we don't necessarily like is trying to like twist someone's story so that Survivor is the hero.
Have I ever told you the tale of the fat middle school Xander?
Yeah, I've heard that one a few times.
Mary's tired of hearing that one. Even off the podcast, I quote Xander's story from 41. It's my favorite backstory. Go ahead, Mary. I didn't understand. I cut you off for a joke. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that I would just prefer these little snapshots of people's actual lives to get to know them better. I think it's cool.
I'm so over them. We really should have done. And we had 2 hours in the first. I want to know. I want to hear. This is. I feel like we're at odds. We're at war. Podcasters at war.
What else is new?
Yeah. What? Well, I mean, usually we agree, but this time I'm completely disagreeing with you. And I think that they should have just done these all in the first episode and we should be over. We should have been past all this.
No
more backstories. I'm so over this. I don't care. Stop it. Like, have I want to see moments on the beach and I want to see gameplay. I'm more so moments on the beach, but I'm tired of people sitting down telling us their backstories. Like, just get it over with.
But please. it was literally probably 15, 20 seconds.
I don't care.
And it made that person more interesting and memorable.
I do like her backstory.
All three of them today.
There was three of them?
Yes.
Oh, I glazed over in my eyes when one of them happened. I have her and I have Noelle. Who else had one?
Jesse.
Oh.
About his adopted mom. Because how he felt like voting out NECA was his adopted mom.
I love these backstories.
Yeah, me too. Good, we agree. We can move on.
When they're in the first episode, that's it.
You complained about all of them in the first episode.
You know what? In the before this game even started, on social media they posted people's backstories. Just make a whole special episode before the season starts of backstories. The Survivor preview for the season could just be 2 hours of backstories. We get them over with, and then episode one, no backstories. That's my proposal. Just put it on Paramount Plus as a bonus. Get to know the castaway by watching a 2-hour special of their backstories.
Life's not fair. You don't get what you want.
I'm going to kiss you after this podcast. That's what you're getting. She's my wife, by the way, in case people were new to the podcast. All right. So it was back to what we were talking about. Basically, when NECA said this, I was like, ah, crap. This feels like a going home kind of backstory. And then when Noelle did hers later, I'm like, okay, it's down to her and Noelle. Once Noelle said hers later, I'm like, you're now eligible to be voted out. Because I know what Noelle had given us before is when she talked to Jeff on the beach in the beginning. Because her and Janine both did it, I believe, and James. So I don't know if she had pictures, but it's all the same to me. But at that point, I was like, yeah, now you're eligible to go. And I said during the episode too to you. And it truly did. It came down to her and NECA at Tribal. Though not really. In a 4-1 vote, not really. But
that was the edit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just.
So then we get to the challenge. I know. How about we move on to that?
Can we dwell on these long? All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the challenge. It's much better than the backstories. Yeah. Go ahead. Tell us what was the challenge that we witnessed today?
So you have to dive off a tall platform, swim to large steps, dive off the steps, and get 3 keys, which I must say, I complained about because normally it seems really difficult to get the keys out of the water. And this time they could use like one hand and all they had to do was squeeze this trigger and it just popped right up. But anyways, then
weird design choice. We talked about that during the episode, not to completely interrupt you, but because that change is unique because it is usually untying, or if it's unclipping, you go really deep and you have to like unclipping's not as easy. Just
right.
Like,
it's not a spring. This was like a spring trigger where you just squeeze it and it comes out.
So I wonder what the design thought was behind that.
Don't let people drown, but nobody's drowned before, so you're okay.
Not that we've seen. They could have edited that one out.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
They could have purpled somebody so hard I forgot they drowned. All right, so they do the wrench thing to let go of the buoy.
Right, and they have to do that for 3 different keys, and then the keys unlock a puzzle, and they have to put together this really cute turtle puzzle. And that's the challenge. Also was for a reward, and reward was fruit and tools.
I feel like we've seen every element of the challenge before, so nothing really stood out. The turtle, I'm pretty sure we've seen this turtle puzzle before, so.
Probably, but it was cute.
Yes, Mary did say, oh, how pretty, like when it came up. And I'm like, okay. Like, whatever.
I'm looking forward to the Vexil rendition of it.
Oh, I think Vexil actually posted it today.
Oh, really?
That's why it seems so familiar. I think they had already previewed what the puzzle was going to be, and he had it right. Let me check his Instagram here while we're doing this. The turtle, no, he hadn't posted the turtle today.
Yeah, he just did the mazes.
But he posted the turtle back on March 30th because they did it in 42. Oh,
okay.
So
whatever.
Vexel's a great he does a lot of he does recreations of survivor puzzles and challenges that you can purchase through his Instagram. Well, he has an Etsy page, but I see them all on Instagram, so highly recommend following him on there. Not a free plug for Vexel. He makes the puzzles also. If you sign up on Patreon for $15 tier, I have a Once Upon an Island puzzle made by Vexel. It's just like a Survivor puzzle, but it's the logo of Once Upon an Island. So, yeah. So they just, I mean, so NECA and Jesse blow this puzzle hard.
Yeah, it was so bad. They got there first, right? They were either the
if
first
they
or
weren't
there.
First there. At one point, they were in the lead tied with the Yellow Tribe. That I do remember.
Yeah, because Blue was last to get to the puzzle. I do know that. And Noelle, she was amazing in the challenge. She did a great job. I was very impressed with her. And yeah, they get to the challenge. And even Jeff comments on it. He's like, so last time it was NECA and Dwight. And now NECA has a new puzzle partner.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. And I love NECA. And I wish she would have like kept going. But I was so frustrated with her because it was like she was moving through molasses. She was just staring at the pieces and slowly putting them in.
She was like
in.
Sitting on top of them.
Yeah, she was sitting on top of a piece, well, all of the pieces, at you know, and just like looking over at the other tribe and looking back like this is just a Sunday afternoon puzzle time where we just take our time and sip our tea and put our puzzle together. And it's like, no, this is your life on the line. Come on. And
they kept cutting into her, like trying to look over at the other tribe. And we're seeing the other tribe, what their tribe's doing from more of like a drone shot, eagle eye view. And even I cannot fathom how that would help me on my own puzzle. I don't like, it's just not clear enough. And she is not getting the great view we're getting.
Right.
She's getting her own view where she's like on her knees. Maybe she's getting like 2 feet above the, but like that puzzle is not next to them. It's across the whole, whatever the thing is that they're on, the pontoon or I don't know. The thing that they're, the floating platform.
She could have been getting a few glimpses of it. But yeah, the whole goal is not to look over at the other team. Anyways.
In the background, you could see people literally telling her to focus on. Okay. I think it was Noelle specifically who's like, focus on the puzzle that you're doing. Stop looking.
Yeah.
Like you see people in the background like frustrated, but you
it was frustrating.
Them.
Yeah. And I was really hoping that they would have won this one because I really genuinely like everyone that's still left on the tribe. And I didn't want anyone else to go, but I wanted to see Blue.
I was ready for yellow drama.
I was ready for anybody else to go to tribal, really. But, you know, I wanted to see Blue and see what their alliance was like. Or yellow would have been cool to see, you know, if they try to get the idol or out or whatever. But, yeah, so this was just frustrating in general to me.
Seeing Blue go to tribal and seeing if those three girls plus James actually held together is would have been more interesting to me because I... Like they said it last episode and then the first episode, but we haven't seen it happen yet. So I'm not rooting for Blue to lose because I'm sure eventually it will happen. Though 41, if it's anything like 41, Blue will not lose and they'll just go to the merge all intact. So, but yeah, as of now, this is probably the tribe that I did not want to go the most. I agree with you. There's no one that was like, yeah, let's get rid of them.
Right.
I mean, is there people I want to get rid of? Maybe, but I definitely want to see the yellow drama was set up so well in the beginning. I was like, yeah, we're going to go to tribal with yellow.
Every time you say that, I should know that they're not going to go though, because you
so
keep
bad.
You're bad at predicting this.
I'm
this
so
season.
Bad at predicting what tribe's going to tribal. I'm much better at like reading storylines and alliances, I feel like, for the most part, but I cannot read which tribe's going to tribal. It is a weakness of mine. It's not good. Thankfully, it's not a skill that comes up very often in my life. I don't go to Walmart and you know, the cashier's like, who's going to tribal? And I'm like, ah, crap. I'll just put everything back on the shelf. All right, I'm going to leave the joke there. That seemed like a good spot. All right, so we forgot to mention that Carla, I know we briefly mentioned it, she traded all her beats, and her social acumen at doing that was really good. And I want to touch on that before we get into all the red drama, or, you know, not really drama, the red strategy talk. So Carla basically trades everything, or she attempts to trade everything to get the beads. Because she trades earrings, am I correct? She traded earrings,
yeah,
and everyone's like...
Yeah, she traded her earrings.
Everyone basically, was almost like, James, like, you can just have my bead, I don't care. Which probably would have been me, not knowing what the bead's worth, obviously.
Right.
I would have been like, yeah, you can just, I don't care, just have the bead. I do not care about the bead. And Lindsay's like, oh my gosh, I got an earring, yay! And then Ryan was the holdout.
Mm-hmm.
But He's like, well, we trade socks.
Yeah.
Carl's like, I don't want your socks. Mm-hmm. Give me your bead. So.
So she found, basically she found out what every person really wanted or needed mm-hmm. and used that. So yeah, she was super smart.
Yeah, she did a really good job. And I know we talked about how it was great of her to keep it herself, but it was really the trading I want to touch upon, because that was a different tactic than Cody, who had to have people help him to base. Everyone gave Cody his, but Carla, like her socially swaying everybody by bartering is probably the more, I think that's the one that I think almost anyone could pull off. The Cody one, I felt like was such an anomaly. I'm like, I don't know how many people could pull this off, but Carla's was probably the more the one that could be replicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if they do this, if they do the same Beware Advantage of 4D4, which I imagine they probably will. If somebody, of course, which tribe hasn't done, Yellow Tribe hasn't done this yet. So we'll see if they barter. Who knows? Whoever on the Yellow Tribe finds it, we'll find out what they do. Crazy. Yellow's had 7 days and nobody's found it yet. These things are like out in plain sight. They're on top of a log. They're on top of a tree branch, which is like, you know, a foot above your head.
Yeah.
Like, holy. And it's on the walkway too, because we all know on the walkway is the survivor's favorite spot besides at your tribal fire that one time. But no, really on the walkway. They love putting them there. So, all right, let's get into red. So we have Noelle. Who are there to? Was it? I'm tripping here for a second. James, Owen, and Noelle go to yet another summit.
Mm-hmm.
They have to walk a different path.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different visual, but it's the, you know, same crap, decision, different day kind of thing.
This one was different in that they made the decision in like 15 seconds, it seemed like.
Well,
even though it didn't seem like they were supposed to talk about it, but they did. And
well, they knew it was coming up because they've seen 41, 42, and I'm sure everyone was told, like, hey, I got an advantage or I didn't get an advantage
from last
Dwight,
time.
Gabler, and top of my head, I'm sorry, I forgot who the third person was that went on that first run. But yeah, that's why I hate when they do the same thing again, because we saw this in 41 and 42. Everyone already knew what to expect. Therefore, hack is not the right word, but they already can beat the system because the system has already been exposed after one group of people going.
Right. Well, you can't say beat the system because it really comes down to what do you want in the game. And they wanted Noelle to have an advantage because I think they believed her when she said she was on the bottom, and that come merge she would flip over to them. And they felt
she did a great job.
Hey, we're not going to tribal. We don't need this. We'll try and solidify some loyalty with you. Sure, go for it. Oh, yeah. I mean, she did a good job in staying. If I was in her situation, oh, man, I don't know.
I would have done the same thing.
I wouldn't, though. And here's my thing. Because it always comes back to bite you somehow. Because I guess if you're flipping it, it doesn't matter anyways. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the bottom, it doesn't matter.
I truly think she is planning on dropping.
Well, yeah.
Like, I think what's what she's promising.
As she should, because she doesn't have a tight alliance.
No, because what she just witnessed was Janine went, and now her tribe's going back tribal. You're kind of positioned to just say whatever you can to survive this trial, because at this point, but it turns out she didn't even need to. Did she know that when she made this promise? As far as we know, no.
Right.
She could probably came back to camp, and they're like, yeah, we're voting on NECA. And we told her we're voting at you. And she's like, all right, I'll trust you. And they're like, no, like we're voting on NECA. She's just not good for us. So, I mean, clearly she was convinced because she didn't even play it. Or nothing.
Right.
No one played a shot in the dark here. No, which by the way has been de-emphasized so much, which tells me it's probably not. I think everybody saw the failed attempts of 41, 42, because 42 started off hot.
Mm-hmm.
Shot in the dark. Ugh, sorry. And this group of people saw all 41, saw the fails, saw 40, at least the first half of 42, and saw the fails. Everyone's only seen shot in the dark failure. They needed to up the odds and they did it and no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that will change. If it doesn't, talk about or colossal
lower
failure.
The odds. They needed to lower the odds.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Make the odds better for the person playing shot in the dark.
Increase the odds. You could, whatever.
You could know what I mean. All right. Mary tonight.
Sorry.
You know, you're like so sarcastic and snippy. I feel more loved than I've ever felt before.
Okay.
All this, Mary's giving me such suspicious eyes. We have played this. Mary and I, whenever we play board games, you cannot trust her. She's very suspicious. She always gives you like looks and she reads into you. We play the game. I don't know if you guys have ever played like, it's kind of like Among Us, but it's called Mafia. If we play Mafia, Mary knows instantly whether I'm in the Mafia or not. It is crazy.
Yeah, you're my husband. I know when you're acting suspicious.
What I'm trying to warn everyone is if you marry Mary, don't play Mafia with her. That's really where I'm getting at.
Good life lesson. Everyone needs to learn this.
Or Among Us, because she's really good at knowing when I am the imposter or the Mafia. And it's not fun. It all of a sudden becomes a game of how soon can I get out Mary so I can survive this game.
Anyways,
hey, what I was gonna say is when they do the summit thing, I was kind of wondering, would it be more interesting if three people from the same tribe went? You know, they keep doing people from different tribes, but like these people don't have any connections, and I know the thought is they're gonna form a connection, but like they're not really, because they're only spending like maybe half an hour together.
I don't think so, because I think if you send three people from the same tribe, that automatically creates an alliance where they're like, okay, hey, let's just make sure that we don't lose our votes and do what just happened here. So we're not going to lose our votes and one of us gets an advantage and then we have to share the advantage or whatever, you know.
Maybe. Do you think of, you know, that I guess in this early game where everyone's like pretending to be friends with each other, maybe. So let's say Noelle, Cody, and Dwight all went to this. Like, but the question is, who are they willing to give the advantage to? Who's going to get it? I think in that situation, probably Cody between those three. I think he has the most charisma to get away with it. And it comes across as the most trustworthy as a result. But I think that would be an interesting twist one of these times. Just send three people of the same tribe. Because it's a different dynamic. We've seen this dynamic like 6-7 times now of people from... like it's a little dull. It's getting a little dull. Let's switch it up. Three people from the losing tribe, and they get picked randomly by rocks. Like it's not, they don't get to pick themselves. Mm-hmm. No social play there, because obviously you're going to pick people from your lines, obviously, to go, and then you will all agree, and that is not interesting. It has to be a random draw. Personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it could be interesting.
And then you get two people in this situation, you get two people back at the camp talking. They're like, crap, three people are together going to for an advantage, but if all three people aren't together in the original, you know, in the first place, I don't know. So I think it'd be worth a shot once, and I would love to know what everyone else thinks. Comment on that one. So, all right, yeah, we go into tribal. Noelle gets the advantage to steal a vote. Do you think that it changes based on where we are in the game, or do you think it changes based on how many people risked their vote? Because I think it's based on how many people risked their vote, but it probably is just based on how far we are in the game.
I think it could be how many people risked their vote. We've seen two different scenarios so far. We haven't seen three people risk their vote. Mm-hmm. So if the same scenario happens again and they get the same reward, I guess that would solve the question.
Yeah.
Or answer the question. But I don't know, because it feels like it also should matter where you're at in the game or how far along you are in the game as to what kind of reward you get too, because like, should you be in an immunity idol with only four tribals left or something like that? I don't know, but...
I sure hope they don't do this with only four tribals left.
Yeah.
That would be really dumb.
That would be dumb. So, I don't know. I have no idea.
I think it was going to be the same no matter how many people risked it. I do believe that, or I believe it would have been the smarter move. So, let's say it was based on how many people risked it. I think that would be something they would put in the note that would sound interesting. Like, hey... the more of you that risk it, the better the reward.
Yeah, true.
So more people would risk it, which is the idea, which is really what they want.
Right.
Trust me, Survivor wants all three people to risk it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I say trust me, but you know, at the same time, I don't work for the show, so don't trust me. You know, as they said in Reading Rainbow, take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow. And then I think he encouraged you to read the book for yourself, if I recall. It's been a while.
Did you?
I've read a lot of books. I don't know if I read the book specifically from the shows I watched, but I've read quite a few. Specifically, what book am I reading right now? Oh, yeah. Alcatraz versus the Evil Librarians. It's high art, let me tell you. It's definitely not a comedic book, I think, aimed at 14, 15-year-old age range. So anyways, with that in mind, we get another backstory from Jesse about his mom. You're right. There was three of this episode. Oh, my gosh.
But again, this one was literally probably 15 seconds. I'm
done.
And it was so good.
I'm done. I don't even want to hear another backstory. I could go the rest of my life without hearing a backstory.
Good. I'll not be telling you mine.
Mary, oh man. Mary and I What has this been? 7 years now?
Yeah.
If you reveal another backstory to me, Mary, with pictures, I'm out of here. I'm gone. We're over. We're in court. Judge, like, what happened? I'm like, Mary's given me so many backstories over the course of 7 years. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I'm going to show you an example from the show Survivor, Judge. And just imagine this happening, but for 7 years. And the judge will be like, actually, I side with Wesley. That's the noise I'm going to make because I won. So anyways. All right. We are going to tribal. And Jesse says voting NECA makes him feel like he's voting his own mother.
Yeah. And he was sitting on the beach crying.
He was channeling his inner Sierra. He wants to vote out his own mom, but he knows he doesn't really want to vote out his own mom, but he kind of has to vote out his own mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a tough situation. Sierra's been there. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about this. Somebody suggested, hey, I want to point out on the jaw-dropping videos, if you suggest a jaw-dropping moment, that's a good one. I'm going to include it. I'll even comment, hey, I'm putting this next one. I want to point this out because somebody commented Sierra voted out her own mother, which I had completely forgotten that even happened in the history of Survivor. So I included it. It's in the next volume of jaw-dropping moments from Survivor. Make your jaw drop, volume 3. It's in there. Somebody suggested and I threw it in. So I had forgotten it even. Did you remember?
There's no way that you've forgotten that it existed.
Did you remember?
Because randomly throughout the day, at least once a month or something, if I say something about my mother, you'll be like, but did you know Sierra voted out her mother?
I mean, did you know?
Yes.
I mean, Jeff never mentioned it again after it happened, which is very much unlike Jeff. So yeah. I've forgotten that her own birth mother. All right. So NECA gets voted out 4-1. I wrote down so dumb. Not that they knew it was so dumb, just because they don't know. Like, they don't know what Noelle has planned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I say this as if Noelle's some sort of evil genius. It's really just Noelle's playing to keep her game alive. And I don't, that's nothing evil about that. But little does everyone else know what they've done.
Right.
In my opinion.
Well, I mean, it could end up working out. Noelle could, this could solidify herself with the group and she could stick with them and be loyal. But hopefully it just gets them through another immunity without having to go to tribal.
Yeah, seeing them all stick together and vote out NECA could turn her back to their side.
Mm-hmm.
It's an option. So
because really all she needs to know from Jesse is, hey, Justine walked up to me and said she didn't trust me. Like, how am I supposed to vote with that?
You could have said that. We just didn't have time to show it.
Exactly. We just didn't hear it. And that's what it would have taken for me to hear, to not use my steal a vote. And obviously Dwight had to tell her, hey, no, we really are voting NECA, trust Jesse. So again, we should have heard something between Jesse and Dwight here, but maybe they're trying to keep it all hush hush. So you don't know who's voting who. Cause I actually kind of thought that Cody was the swing vote with Jesse and NECA voting Noelle and Noelle and Dwight voting NECA.
No, but Jesse's willing to vote out his own mother go against his own wife. We've learned this. Jesse is cutthroat. He's the one to vote against. Well, he does not care what his wife says, and he will vote out his mom.
He does care about what his wife. Oh, his island wife.
His island wife, Dwight. Yeah. Yeah. Jesse, family means nothing. He's out here to cut throats, as Lex would say. Just out here slit throats with blood all over the ground. All right. With that in mind, next time on Survivor, what's happening? Did you have a note?
Apparently
on that?
Nothing. No, I.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
No, I put a note. I mean, it was just the part of the challenge was if you win, you get to steal something from the other camp.
Tribes camp, whatever.
Oh boy.
Thank you.
But I am glad that they didn't do. Oh, I'm gonna vote so and so out next.
Yeah, no one got next time on Survivor immunity, as I call it. Yeah. You know? No one got immunity. Dang it! This episode, we knew Ellie wasn't going anywhere because they said, well, I think I'm going to vote out Ellie. All right, so Ellie's safe. Oh, that's how I should have known Yella wasn't going to tribal.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bad at reading.
So it's really, I'm sure it's really hard to do those previews because on one hand, you want to make it exciting so that people tune in again, right?
Also, don't lie to me.
But on the other hand, you don't want to give away too much. Yeah. So yeah, I get it. But yeah, it is kind of.
And they can't hype up challenges because there's nothing interesting about them anymore. They're all the same stuff recycled over and over. So what else are they going to hype up?
We're at war.
Yeah, we're winners at war.
No, wait, I mean, no, that was a quote from tonight.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They said it like 3 times.
Oh, brother. Yeah. What a real war we're in. Anyways, this is probably the weakest episode of the 3 so far, personally.
I agree.
I think 1 and 2 were strong episodes, and it could have been because of the runtime, but I also think some crazy events happened. And you know what? Once in a while, you just got to have a filler episode. That's kind of what this was. It was a filler episode. On a binge, nobody would think anything of it. When you're living this thing week to week, it's like, I kind of wish there was more happening, but it happens. Like, so show can't force more interesting events to happen. So, yeah. Are you ready to move on to the next section of the podcast?
Yes.
All right. TV ratings. Woo! Mary's favorite part. She loves this part. This is the one she looks forward to the most.
I definitely don't zone out at all.
Well, you're not zoning out this time, babe. Because I got some big news. No, I'm just kidding. This season, we're comparing seasons 42 and 41 at the same time as 43. We're just going to go episode by episode. So this week, we can only go by what happened last week because I don't have current data. They don't drop it till late on Thursday. And we're recording this literally after the episode ends on Wednesday. So season 43 went down from 5. I don't have last the week before's numbers. They dropped about 500,000 viewers, which isn't great. Season 41 at this point was just bleeding viewers because, of course, they were, because season 41 blew it hard. All the hype going to 41. And then season 42 picked it up from the first week to the second week. So season 42 is the only one to improve. So season 43 dropped to third place. Season 41, episode 2, 5.9 million. Season 42, 5.06 million. Season 43, 4.57 million. Such a disappointment. I was really hoping the hour and a half would, like, we would get strong viewership.
Yeah.
And the fact that it dropped 500,000 is like, it's the wrong message to send, unfortunately. If you didn't watch live, you're
shame
banned.
On you.
Shame on you. Shame. No, it's okay. If you also stream on Paramount, I think within the week before the next episode, they count that as well. Because I saw someone who works for CBS/Paramount tweet out that the premiere of Survivor was like the most watched episode on Paramount that week. So streaming apparently is important, and I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad it was the most watched of the week, you know, because it's competing against the likes of Beavis and Butthead, which I do watch every week as well. Very important that everyone's tuning into Beavis and Butthead. Mary's shaking her head. She does not like Beavis and Butthead. It brings you back to a teenager time, Mary, that you never experienced.
You're right.
Mary's like, I watched better things than that.
Yes.
Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that it was the most watched thing on Paramount Plus that week. So I don't, and my point was, I don't think there's really anything to compete against though at the moment. Like, The Amazing Race is not competition because Survivor always beats The Amazing Race. Like, I don't know if any other Paramount Plus shows are happening right now. So I joke Beavis and Butthead because it actually is having a new episode every week. But like, is there any other big show on Paramount Plus that's having a new episode every week at the moment? I couldn't tell you.
You
I really
besides
don't know.
The Love Boat or whatever.
Oh, The Real Love Boat. Yes, I love The Real Love Boat. Whenever I think about it, I think this is the perfect show to put between Survivor and The Amazing Race. I love The Love Boat. I watched the first 3 minutes tonight and I was like, yeah, this looks even worse than I thought. If all week, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but we're going for it during the TV rating section. The Real Love Boat, all week, Survivor and The Amazing Race has been doing social media posts about this thing. And under every single one of the posts, Mary, has been like the official CBS Twitter. I'm just going to use Twitter as an example. This official CBS Twitter, official me, they're all like just comment. It's the same person running like all three accounts, it seems like. They're all commenting underneath each other and like nobody's liking any of this stuff. Nobody. People are commenting like, this is cringe. They're commenting the GIF of Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park looking at the pile of crap from the Triceratops.
Oh, yeah.
Poop. He's like, or he says, that's a pile of crap. Like that. People are tweeting that because nobody is interested. I bet you the TV ratings for The Love Boat is going to be horrendous because this is a bad show to go into after Survivor, personal opinion. I've yet to see anybody go, oh, I can't wait. This looks like such a good show. Why can't they just do Survivor and The Amazing Race and do Love Boat third? Wouldn't that make more sense?
It would make more sense.
Anybody who's wanting to watch just super attractive people make terrible decisions in relationships, that sounds like a later show. That should be on after The Amazing Race, personal opinion. But what do I know? So anyways, and really, what do I know? I don't run CBS. All right, so let's move on to our winner picks part of the podcast. Okay. If you weren't tuned into the TV ratings, you missed my tangent on the Real Love Boat. I suggest you go back if you are interested in hearing me just trash the show. All right, because some people just skip to this part, so I say it. All right, winner picks. So we got our top three. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing a full in-depth analysis again that we did a couple weeks ago with Rebecca. She'll be back. We'll be doing that. But in the meantime, it's just Mary and I. So top three. Who's your number three, Mary? Winner picks.
It's the same as last week, Sammy.
Yeah, but we have more reasons now. So why Sammy?
I do have more reasons. I do think that he is still playing it well for his age, and just he's been super smart. I think he's right with sticking with the guys alliance so far. If he can reel them in, he has gotten just a little bit cocky, but at least he's not Ellie-ing it yet. So
if anything, it's shown that he's in a better position than Ellie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's definitely been shown. Keeps showing,
right? So I just think that I think it'd be fun. He'd be a fun winner.
Sammy's also my number three, and it's not because I think he is going to win, but this could change.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Sammy's, I think he's put himself in a tough spot aligning with Gabler, but at the same time, I think as we talked about with Owen earlier, if Owen were to align with the girls, he makes himself the number one target in that alliance if they reach the merge.
Right.
I think Sammy's the same thing. Sammy gets in with these two girls, and they go to the merge. Let's say all three of them survive. He's going to be target number one. Personal opinion, could be wrong. We did see in 41, we're literally on the Yellow Tribe. Xander, Evie, and Tiffany all made it to the merge. And who went first? Tiffany, then Evie, and then Xander got to the end. So that's not necessarily the case, right? Just because you're an in-shape person. However Xander got there, by hook or by crook, he got there. But here, I think Sammy's better off being with Gabler. Gabler's such an easy target at some point. Mm-hmm. I would get rid of Ellie. Ellie thinks she's the smartest person in the room. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she's gonna have some sort of massive character change in the next 4 days before the merge. Because mm-hmm. believe it or not, I'm sure the merge is like day 12. And we're on day 7 now. So I could be wrong. It could be like day 13. But, you know, that'd be halfway through the game. It's just so wild. Every time I see the day count. I'm so used to watching 39-day seasons, going back to these older ones. So, yeah, I'm with you. Sammy's my number three. I'm a little, I think there are moments he could have that could change him from just being a big character to a winner.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it yet because it is only 3 episodes. No one on my winner list screams to me. Like, there's no one in the season that screams, right, oh, this is the winner.
Right, yeah.
So there's no one here I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely. There's no silver bullet in the edit, nothing. Like, when I called Marianne, I felt like I had a silver bullet, and I guess I kind of did on accident. But there's no silver bullet this season, so Sammy's my number three as well. Who's your number two?
Ellie. Although she's kind of dropped down.
I would replace
her. Lower number two. I don't know. We kind of talked about why. I still think she has all the qualities. She's super smart. She is fairly well in her social game. People do seem to like her and trust her. I mean, Sammy's talking strategy with her and seems to like want to kind of be involved with her until she burns him a little bit. But she is just like, she's just gotten cocky. And so she can either have a fall and recover and hopefully learn, but it's going to be probably too little too late because this is such a fast-paced game. But it's possible. I can still see her getting there and winning.
Yeah.
I still like her and her gameplay. She's just going a little bit too hard.
Sure. Ellie, man, I would drop her in a heartbeat for Carla, personally.
That's your number two?
No. Carla's not my top three. I'm saying.
Because we talked about how Carla. I almost considered Carla. Yeah.
Yeah. What you said earlier, you almost considered Carla. I would put her over Ellie. I like Ellie's a character. Not anything against Ellie's character, mm-hmm. but do I think she's being set up as a winner? I really don't. If anything, she's being set up to be bamboozled at some point.
Yeah.
So
probably.
Usually the winners aren't being set up to be bamboozled. Not unless the winner turns around on the other party, I guess, which could happen.
Could happen. Because right now Ellie's main opponent is Sammy, and Sammy's still really young. Like, he could really trip up and mess this whole thing up, especially if Owen goes and snitches.
Sammy telling us that he's 19 is, if he does it every episode, it's gonna become a meme. Every episode. You know what? I told him I'm 22, but I'm actually 19. We got it.
We remember.
Right. I haven't forgotten, Survivor. Thanks. I wonder if he's saying it just unprompted in interviews. Like, they're like, all right, Sammy, so tell us what you think strategically about Ellie. He's like, well, first off, I'm 19, and I told them I'm 22. All right, Sammy, we didn't ask. That would be funnier.
No, it's more likely that they sit down and the producer's like, yeah, no, Sammy, how old are you again?
Yeah, I have a note here. you're 22? He's like, no, I said I'm 19. I know I'm 19, but I told everyone I'm 22. Oh, just sorry, just checking. Every episode?
Yeah, every episode. That'd be
hilarious. Either one is hilarious. All right, so my number two is Jesse. He's gotten way too much content to not consider him, and he's not getting, like, Dodo edit content. He's not getting, like, Cody's getting, like, big character, but not a winner content. Jesse's getting, like, even when they're talking strategy, we're always hearing from Jesse. Mm-hmm. Like, it's impossible to ignore. We're always hearing from Jesse. What does Jesse think about this? What does Jesse think about that? These are classic traits of what you look for in a winner edit. When the winner usually is the one we hear from. You get the anomalies like Erica, but even Erica had little hints here and there that she was on track to be the winner. So Jesse, I don't fully see it. Jesse still screams to me like a Final Five boot. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the finale and gets kicked for being too big of a threat at the final three. But, you know, a couple immunity wins changes everything. So, because like Nick Wilson and Dave vs. Goliath should have been booted much sooner than he was, but he went on an immunity run right when he needed to at the end and won. So, I don't know. We'll see. But he wasn't good at that puzzle today.
No, he was not. But how often do puzzles come up in individual immunity?
And how often does he do puzzles with NECA? Because I feel like that needs to be factored in.
Yeah.
Because back-to-back times we've seen her not be good at them. Obviously, she's out. So, and never again.
That's why he's still my number one. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, yeah. That was my question. Who's your number one?
And I think tonight just solidified, like you said, we get so much content from him. And we're constantly hearing what he has to say about the game and how the game's going. I think the note I had for tonight was he's not, he makes those good relationships. And hopefully he repairs a relationship with Dwight. And we didn't get to see it, but hopefully that was a good conversation. But I put that, you know, he's willing to make these relationships and he knows the importance of loyalty, but he's also willing to make the logical decision. And to me, the logical decision was to vote out NECA. So even though it hurt him, he was willing to ignore emotions and go with logic. So whether you agree with the logic or not, like, it's really important to ignore your emotions in this game and go with what's logical. So I thought that was another good point for him tonight.
Yeah, Jesse's been given the strongest edit of the Red Tribe. And of course, him getting another backstory today. I feel like the more backstories you can put in your pocket, you know, is like playing cards, the better for an edit at this point. You know, you get like a full house, I think you've won the game. So he's gotten two so far. Three more, you know, I think you win a prize. It's called $1 million in Soul Survivor. So you ready for my number one? Believe it or not, people, Lindsay's still number one.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. There has been absolutely nothing to dissuade me, because if Blue had gone to Tribal and we had heard strategy from everyone but Lindsay, or, you know, or from some people but not Lindsay, I'd be like, okay. But like, Blue hasn't gone to Tribal and it's like hard to read. So Carla stumbled on the Beware Advantage, so she got the content this episode. But really, if it wasn't for that, like, everyone else kind of got like one confessional, I think. But it's only because they almost like had to. Like, just to check in with the Blue Tribe. But the Blue Tribe had nothing else going on besides Carla finding this Beware Advantage.
Who else got a confessional on Blue?
Cassidy, I think, talked about James' birthday, if I recall, which was crazy. Yeah. James didn't even talk about his own birthday.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, did just happen. Mm-hmm. Cassidy talked about James' birthday. Lindsay says, I'm pretty sure that the idol's been found, or if it hasn't been, it's going to be. So you get like a smart, like, Lindsay's Lindsay's smart. In fact, I'm pretty sure she's the one that says around the camp, like, does nobody have this thing by now? Right. Which makes me almost wonder, like, did Lindsay find it and just decide? She's like, I'm gonna let somebody else find this. But like, you think they would have shown that?
They would have shown that.
You surely think they would have shown that? Yeah. Surely, surely you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. Old jokes. All right. Yeah, Lindsay's my number one. There was a lot of good content in the first episode. Absolutely nothing in the second episode for like this entire tribe, despite the extended runtime. Really, Carla's, in my opinion, got the strongest edit from the Blue Tribe. Lindsay is more of the quality of the content she got in episode one is hard for me to ignore. And I'm not going to do what I do with Erica in season 41. Season 41, Erica had one episode where out of left field, she had all that strong content. Like, what is this huge red flag they're throwing in my face? And then I proceeded to ignore it. Mm-hmm. And I was wrong and I felt dumb. So
no, you could be right, because if the winner is on the Blue Tribe, it's going to be hard to keep a spotlight on them because nothing's happening at their camp right now. And
it would
so,
be weird to focus on them if they aren't getting the beware advantage, for example. Right.
But randomly focusing on just one person in the blue tribe would be wrong too. So yeah, if just randomly checking in with her, it makes sense editorially, but
we need them to go to tribal once we can get a good read. Does the alliance of three women hold together plus James? I think it does. Nothing's been presented otherwise.
Yeah.
Of course, they haven't got to go tribal yet. So I need Blue to go to tribal to get a better read. I'm keeping Lindsay at number one right now, but they go to tribal and we get a bunch of strategy from everyone but Lindsay. Like, Lindsay's not in the... I don't know. Like, I need something and I don't have anything to tell me. I'm just not ignoring all the good episode one content, but it does... You know, I just need them to do... I need them to do something strategically, and they haven't had to. Good on them, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened to Erica in 41. Blue never had to go tribal, so the show's like, crap, how do we... Thankfully, they tried throwing a challenge once to give the show something to give Erica, because otherwise they had nothing for Erica for like six episodes until the Hourglass episode. So, yeah. I don't think... There's no Hourglass this season. Just they are doing the Earn the Merge.
Thankfully.
So, yeah. All right, you ready for people's questions that we ask for on YouTube, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay, so every week on YouTube, after the episode airs on my community tab, I ask you all for your questions. I randomly pick the ones that catch my eye right away, and that's what we answer. No science to it. First question is from Kenneth. Is the final 10 all men?
No.
Now, Mary, why would you say that?
Just statistically, that's not going to happen.
Now, why would you say that?
Statistics.
Is it because there's 18 people on the season and only 9 of them are men?
Oh, well, that too.
I was trying to see if that's what your statistics were.
I didn't know how many men there were.
Well, there's 18 players, 9 of them are men. So unless somebody changes gender mid-season, which I will not take off the table, I don't think the final 10 are all men, but I could be wrong. All right. Next question is from Derek. Is Jesse the new Sierra? Derek, it's a great question. But the real question is, will Jeff follow up on this multiple times? And I don't think he will, unfortunately. No. I know. And now if Jeff was like, now if Jesse at Tribal had said, NECA's like my mother. She's basically my mother.
No, because people have said stuff like that before.
Maybe.
Yeah. But one got a backstory with pictures before. That's true. So.
You need the Jeff follow up to really make the mother thing a big deal. Because that's what made it such a big deal. Sierra doing it was one thing. Jeff talking about it every single episode. He can't say Sierra's name without saying she voted out her mother and emphasizing it. So anyways, Ben asks, is Jeff truly the monster or is the monster gone? I think the monster is that lighting on Jeff. It has not gotten better at tribal. That's the real monster.
Yeah.
Hopefully they fix that in 44. Do you think Jeff's the monster? They didn't do monster advertisements this season.
There's no monster. The monster is an illusion.
Yeah, it's just something Jeff said during 42, and they're like, oh, yeah, we could use that in the marketing 41 as well. All right, Giovanni asked, who played the best bead game, Cody or Carla? Best? Carla. Most interesting? Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carla played but she didn't tell anyone else. That's the key. That's the
best.
And
she did a really good, like, trade bartering system that required social skills.
So. Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, had she just asked everyone and they gave it to her, that would have also been like impressive, but it would have been less impressive at the same time because they just gave it to her.
Yeah.
She had to convince people who didn't, they weren't
necessarily want to give it to her.
Yeah. At the same time, like, it's just a bead. I think everyone like is an adult and they're like, what am I doing? This is a bead. Like, why do I care?
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, you just gotta like, these are not a bunch of like 5-year-old children.
Right.
That would be different. That's a whole different social situation. Yeah. Jeff wants children survivor. He's like, all right, everyone, you little kindergartners. One of you gets all the beads from everybody else. You got an idol. Like, that's chaos waiting to happen. Kindergarten. You know it too. You've worked with children that age. You know, that's chaos waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Only one kid gets all the beads. All right. Last question is from AJ Flow 2.1. The first trip this season, talking about the summit, was Gabler getting an idol. This episode, Noelle went and got a steal a vote. What do you think the next advantage will be, and who do you think will get it? I don't know who will get it. That's a hard question to answer. But what do we think the next advantage will be? I think the next one could be the classic extra vote.
Pretty equal with steal a vote, though, so...
Steal a vote, removes a vote, and adds one to you. Like, almost...
I mean,
it's almost
true.
Like
it's a little bit more.
Almost worth two extra in that
situation.
Is
worth two, but so is an extra vote.
Well, think about this. So an extra vote adds another vote.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, where steal a vote means you're taking one away and adding it to you. Mm-hmm. It's like almost like two. It's worth two. It's actually only worth one more.
It's because you're taking a vote away from an opponent, mm-hmm. which decreases their numbers, but yes. you still can increase your numbers. So,
if it's really like a downward, because the idol, in my opinion, is still worth the most, even if it's only yeah. worth two tribals, still worth the most. If it goes idol, steal a vote, I would say extra vote's the next one. I don't think an idol nullifier will come up here.
No.
But I know there's one in 42 that Omar got, and it never became important enough for them to show in the show. So it's not that they've taken that out of circulation. It just happened last season. They just didn't show it. So I just don't think it's going to come up here.
What if you just get an extra dice in your shot in the dark?
Oh my gosh. Oh, you mean one more? Like shot in the dark goes from 1-6 to 2-7 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's dumb.
I know.
No, I mean, that's realistic at the same time, I guess. I don't know. I won't argue against it. I think if anything, Shot in the Dark just needs to make the odds better, period, overall. So, all right. Well, that's all we have for this week. I hope you enjoyed our extra sarcastic, snarky attitudes. We were really having fun tonight. So, all right. Well, thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next time. Bye.